Hello everyone, this is Corey Creed from Hippo Internet Marketing, and you're listening to The Jungle Map, your guide to online marketing. We'd like to welcome everyone. Today I have with me a couple of guys here that know their stuff, and we are going to be talking about the subject of quitting your job and starting an online business. Kind of an ironic topic with the economy the way it is right now, but we'll talk about it a little bit with two of my colleagues here, and then we'll talk about a few of the odds and ends news topics as time permitting. So let's go around. I have two gentlemen here joining me via Skype online, and let's introduce each of them. Ty Downing, you are working in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I believe your company is Perspective IM, is that correct? Or Internet Marketing? How do you call yourselves?
Perspective Internet Marketing, or Perspective IM is kind of the shorter version, but you just type in www.perspectiveim.com and you'll find my site.
Great. And Ty, just a little bit of background. Ty and I have actually been friends for, Lord, I don't even know how long, probably 10 years or more. We lived near each other up in New York back when I was up there in the late 90s, I guess, is when we first became friends. And then you've been doing internet marketing. When we got together after we had both left New York, we did a little internet marketing and learned from each other early on, right?
That's correct. Actually, I learned more from you.
And then you ended up in Wilmington kind of starting your own business, but then you've been with a company for quite a while. You've been with AllSpec, and now more recently you've come out on your own, and that's why we wanted to include you in on the list. Also joining us via Skype, we have Brandon Utley. Brandon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Corey, how are you?
All right, I'm doing good. Thanks for joining us this morning. Brandon is right in the Lake Norman region, just north of Charlotte, and you're probably just a few miles down the road, but yet we have you joined in via Skype, so thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
Let's jump into this subject of quitting your job and starting an online business. Let's get a little bit of a background on both of you. Brandon, why don't you tell us about what you've been doing for work and what your recent change was? You want to tell us a little bit about what you did and when?
Sure. Well, back in 1999, I co-founded a company called Carbon House, and that was a website development company based in Charlotte. And I was president of Carbon House up until the end of August of 2008, just a couple of months ago. And I decided to leave the firm for different reasons and have started a new company called Web Business Freedom, online at www.webbusinessfreedom.com. And essentially I left because, one of the main reasons was the business at Carbon House was changing and becoming very narrow in focus. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but what I found personally is if you don't have passion for what you're doing, then you're not going to be the best you can be. And, you know, for the good of the company and for me personally, I decided to leave and start my own company again.
Yeah, and so regarding that, it seems like it's a little bit different for Ty, but for you personally, it seemed to be more of a personal decision more than anything else. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there was a lot of personal issues. Of course, we could talk about this for a long time. In any business, if you have more than one person, if you have partners, you know, it's like being married. And when you have multiple partners, I guess it's like being, in Utah or something. So there gets to be interesting kind of dynamics going on and so forth. And, you know, in every situation, you know, there are obviously different sides to this story. But, you know, my former business partner would probably tell you that, you know, I just had different vision for the company, and I had different things that I wanted to do, and it wasn't necessarily a bad thing either way, but it's, again, good for them that they're focused on a specific niche, and then I decided to, you know, just pursue something a little bit more broad-based and allowed me to do various things with my career.
How long had you been working with Carbon House?
Almost 10 years, yeah. Wow. I started back in mid-1999, back before the web had really taken off significantly. So we were an early web design firm. And that's another thing I saw technology change quite a bit over the years. It used to be this very sort of mad scientist type of stuff behind the scenes. People really didn't understand it. The technology was difficult to use. And as a result, you could kind of price things, you know, at a premium. And over time, with both open source technology and competition increasing, prices started to come down. So, you know, what used to cost $50,000, for example, might cost $15,000 now, as an example.
Yeah.
Not to mention the whole offshoring and outsourcing trends that started to occur. So really, I think that, you know, I wanted to be able to serve the small business more so than I was able to in the past because of the premium price levels.
Nice. To your credit, Brandon, and to the credit of Carbon House, the people that are still there, in the Charlotte area, Carbon House, I mean, it's pretty safe to say that they're one of the top three web development companies in the Charlotte, greater Charlotte region. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys do phenomenal design work, but also meld that with a great user experience and an incredible back-end content management system that Carbon House developed in-house. So all are helping them with their new focus on building the best websites for arenas and performing arts centers in the country.
Yeah, fantastic. And I've been over there and met the guys over there. Highly recommend them. Do good work. Ty, yourself, where had you been working up until just recently and for how long, and what did you do there?
As you mentioned, I was working at AllSpec Industries. They are a very large e-commerce website. They sell about 14 to 15,000 products online. And pretty much, I guess you could say, Corey, I was like an employed consultant, because when I first went there, they had an online presence, but they were pretty much in disarray. I was able to kind of secure them as a consultant. However, they did employ me because there was the scope of the work just kind of merited me being there pretty much full time. They had some definite challenges and fun along the way. I helped, I guess you could say, implement an SEO team and kind of organize the marketing department, because they were in the infancy of trying to figure out what the internet was all about, even though they had an online presence, but they didn't have any recognition of on-page and off-page factors when it comes to the internet. So I helped to kind of establish that, work with the IT department, getting them up to speed with a dynamic website, because I think both of you know there's definite issues when you have such a large site. So in essence, I helped them in that regard. I was the internet marketing manager. In addition to other duties, I monitored all their pay-per-click campaigns, about 1,200 keywords. So there were a variety of things that I guess you could say I used all my skills in this one company to help them in the search engines and other, you know, gaining other traffic. So pretty much that's what I did there at AllSpec Industries. Was,
yeah, and forgive me for interrupting, but to their credit, thinking a little bit about AllSpec, because I don't know them real well, but I know your time with them. How long were you with them?
Just about 3 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so during those three years, I know when you first started, they did internet marketing to a small extent, but during those 3 years, I mean, we went to conferences together. We've been to the search engine conferences, and I know you've applied those things. You've learned a lot over the years by staying involved in the industry of search and internet marketing. And they've done really well, and by you pulling out, they've actually had to replace you because they've seen the need and the value of spending time and money on internet marketing. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think their eyes were opened when I first went there to start making some subtle changes. They went from $5.9 million in sales to around $12 million this year. So they doubled in 3 years, and they pretty much had seen that, you know, their traffic was coming from the optimization and our efforts. So
yeah,
they you better believe it, they see the value of having somebody in that position.
Yeah, fantastic. So now, especially for the sake of our listeners, as people are listening to this podcast, and by the way, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I worked for 10 years in New York, and then I spent almost a full year working for an e-commerce company, and we dramatically increased their sales, or I did, and then it grew so that we left and went to North Carolina, and we've been living in North Carolina since 2003, and I started my own business, my own, just like these guys are doing now. And so for the sake of our listeners, question, what made you decide to make this move? Why did you, you know, especially in a down economy, as I mentioned in the very beginning, we're at a time where people are telling, everyone's being told that if you have a job, keep it, because it's not easy to get one. If the economy keeps going the way it's going and there are less and less jobs and people are holding on to their jobs, that's the trick, is having a job. So now you guys decide to give up your job and start an online business. Can you? Is it because the circumstances are just right? Brandon, you had just had a new child. Is that right? What were your circumstances?
Oh, yeah. Of course, I don't think you can ever plan for the perfect time to start a business, whether it's web-based or not. And of course, in my case, I probably picked one of the worst times. As you mentioned, my wife and I had our second child August 10th this year. And my last official day at my previous company was August 25th. So you can imagine that time frame was fairly stressful, to put it mildly. And in addition, my wife had some complications with the pregnancy, and the baby was born a couple weeks early. You know, everything's good now, but at the time, we're talking about no sleep, the stress of leaving another company that I've been with for a long time, which, you know, includes the joys of dealing with legal teams and stuff like that. Also having a two-year-old to deal with, and all of that combined was really stressful. And this doesn't even include the economy, because back in August, all this stuff really hadn't hit the fan yet. Mm-hmm. So had it been worse earlier in the year, I might have thought more about it.
Yeah.
Possibly delayed the decision, for example.
Yeah.
But again, when somebody, and both of you guys know this, when you get to the point where you're ready to start your own business, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
And we talked about this earlier, Corey. You know, if you wait for the absolute stars to align and everything to be perfect, you will never do it. So at some point, you just have to jump in and start. Now, so of course, when, you know, October, November rolls around and the headlines are just horrendous and the economy is terrible, you also have to start looking for the silver lining. And in my case, you know, I see a bright side being that independents are more in demand now. For example, yourself, me, and Ty, people that are smaller can assist bigger companies that are laying off staff and at the same time trying to keep up appearances. So, you know, I've been able to consult, for example, with some large ad agencies in the Charlotte region.
Nice.
Who need that kind of senior level counsel, and they can't afford to bring somebody on full time necessarily because of benefits and so forth. So they're looking for consultants right now.
Yeah, and Ty, what about you? You what were your circumstances? I know you had talked with me many times over the course of months about leaving AllSpec and going out on your own and doing some consulting and client work. What were the circumstances for you? Did they finally click in correctly, or are you a little nervous about it? What do you think?
Well, it's kind of like Brandon was saying, you know, if you wait for the stars to align and you know, the perfect circumstances, they won't happen. And I guess you could say I've been working on my exit strategy, quote unquote, for about a year. I had no clue that the week I actually presented myself leaving AllSpec that the economy would tank as bad as it did. The thing seemed to be stacking against me, and I guess what you could say, AllSpec was consuming so much of my time. I did have clients on the side that I was doing internet marketing for as well, but I realized that in order for me to get on my own, which that's always been my goal, I had to kind of sever my ties and keep my relationship with AllSpec if I could, and I have. But I wanted to just jump into this field, you know, solo and permanently, because I found myself kind of getting behind on things, Corey, because, you know, newsletters. And last year, Google changed their algorithm over 400 times. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's my responsibility to try to keep up on, you know, knowing which changes they made and how to correct them. So I guess I was starting to lose a little focus in my field, and I kind of made the decision this was the right time about 2 months ago. I took a leap of faith, and things have worked out so far so good.
Yeah, and I guess in line with that,
congratulations.
For both of you, yeah, congratulations to both of you. I'm really proud of both of you making this leap. And what I don't want is for our listeners that listen to this podcast to think, oh my God, these poor guys, they're going to die. You know, they picked the worst time and the worst circumstances. And I mean, we could easily go that route. And honestly, it's difficult for anyone. But what do you see, even just kind of new into this world of working for yourself, especially online and over the internet primarily, and as consultants and as providing services for others? What do you see as some of the advantages of doing this? I know, Brandon, your whole website, webbusinessfreedom.com, is all about the advantages to going out and being on your own. What do you like about it, even though you're fairly new at it? What do you like about it, either one of you? Brandon, how about you? You start.
Well, I think that you have the ability to make your own freedom, or security maybe is a better word. And a lot of people think of the ideal as just a bunch more money. And of course, money is always a good thing. But really what people fail to think about is, what does that really mean? Money just provides the opportunity to do things. So whether you want to travel, or if you want to pursue hobbies or spend more time with your family, it's really about what makes sense to you personally. So the funny thing to me lately, especially with the economy, is all these friends that are worried about their jobs, or some of whom have actually lost their jobs, their immediate reaction is, well, I'm just putting my resume back out on the street and I'm looking for, quote, another job. And I just kind of scratch my head and say, well, if you just got laid off with one company, or close to being laid off potentially, what makes you think that there's something better out there? Because everyone's in the same boat. So the people that seem to be doing well are a lot of the independent and particularly web-based companies, because the barrier to entry to start a web company is, as you know, very low. You can start off with almost next to nothing in terms of starting a website, and in fact a good-looking website using something like WordPress and a free theme or a low-cost premium theme. Starting a website is very easy, and then of course doing things on your own, such as keeping your own records and books instead of having to hire an expensive accountant or what have you. I mean, there's so many opportunities now, for example, that didn't exist when I started my prior company.
Yeah, there are a whole lot of tools out there that can help you along those lines. You know, everything, especially using the internet and with the computers, all those things that used to be hired out, HR and all this stuff, it's just so easy to get a presence and to start up.
Sure, and maybe Ty and you, both you guys, I probably read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people misinterpret that, because, you know, any entrepreneur is going to tell you they never work 4 hours a week. They might work 4 hours five times a day. But, you know, it's the goal of the book is noble, that you want to make sure that you structure your business long term so that you're working on your business as opposed to in your business. And that's a very, very critical distinction. There's another great book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. Most entrepreneurs eventually get their hands on that book, and he makes similar points. But the idea now is that, for example, instead of doing everything yourself, you can get very inexpensive virtual assistants or programming resources using things like guru.com or elance.com, where you can hire out tasks to people so that you don't have to build your website yourself necessarily. You don't have to know everything there is to know about SEO or pay-per-click advertising. Yeah. And so forth. You know, there are resources, and I'm doing that myself. I mean, I've got a virtual assistant. I've never met this woman. She helps me do things periodically and at a very low rate.
Nice.
Great.
Nice. And Ty, you spoke a little bit already about the ability to control your time a little more and to be able to stay up on topics like internet marketing and all. What are any other advantages you see? I know you've kind of been out on your own for just a little while now, but what are the advantages that you see or you're looking forward to in having your own business as opposed to working a job?
I think there are obviously several advantages. Brandon touched on many of them. I think what I enjoy, Corey, is I love to see businesses succeed, and I love to see clients happy. And the flex schedule is great, but I've always liked personal challenges. And I think a large benefit to me is taking a new client on and knowing, looking at their website and realizing that this person needs me, and taking them to another level, assisting them in their branding efforts. Those are the type of things that I think I've enjoyed. That I was missing for several years. However, I'm always going to look back at my experience at AllSpec with fondness, because I learned a lot about e-commerce websites. But the benefits of leaving there have definitely been tremendous for me so far. But I also enjoy teaching in that regard. Yeah. I like to instruct people on how they can themselves better their website or get them better rankings in the local listings. I think there's a lot of inner confidence and inner happiness that I've always wanted to have being on my own, because this field, as you know, both of you know, is extremely exciting. I think that's what I've enjoyed, keeping up with all the news and all the excitement that goes with it.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, a couple of the benefits that I see, you know, people talk about having a lot more free time when you own your own business. I can say for the first 2 or 3 years, especially of
my
business, yeah, it just doesn't happen. I mean, if anything, you have less time. People would ask me, especially I know both of you are working out of your homes. We're not anymore. As of this past year, we have our own office, as you both know. But when I was working out of my home, people would say, isn't it too much of a distraction during the day to not work and just go upstairs and be with your wife or play with your dogs or whatever? And I mean, I did that a little, but it was actually the opposite for me. I mean, the hard part was working 9 to 5 and not working again from 7 to midnight as soon as dinner's over, you know? I mean, I just very regularly I would go down into my office to do something personal, and it turns into work all night long, right? I mean, you guys are seeing that, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've been there and I'm doing it again, and it's absolutely, that's something that's very important to think about if you're going to start a business, is where you're going to do it. Because, for example, in my case, yeah, you mentioned, now I'm at home with a couple of small children and a wife during the day. Now, fortunately, our son goes to school a couple hours a day for 3 days a week. But when he's here, we play games where I have to lock the door and disappear and minimize interruptions and so forth. And it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And so, but the key is with any business, you got to start conservatively and small. You know, I can't run out and get an office and spend a bunch of money until the cash flow is right.
Yeah.
So there are all these considerations. These are the things that scare people, I think, about starting a business, because they think, gosh, you know, I don't have an MBA, or I just really don't know how to do this. But the fact is, I think most entrepreneurs probably had very little clue what they were getting into when they started.
Yeah.
If you knew all the stuff that happens going in, you definitely would be too frightened to do it. But once you get in, you just realize it's just one step at a time, and that's all it is. And it doesn't have to be overwhelming. You can take one thing a day, but the key is focus. You've got to figure out, all right, first I'm going to do this thing. In your case, Corey, you've built your teaching classes, your website, your blog. Now you're starting a podcast, which you and I have been talking about probably for 5 months.
Yeah.
But you know, you just get to the point where make a list and slowly and surely chip away at it, as opposed to just trying to jump and do everything at the same time and wonder why you fail.
Yeah, and I'd like to have a podcast in the near future, and you guys, I'm sure, would be valuable to the discussion, just on how to minimize distractions and how to stay focused, because by far that is probably the most important thing that I need to do each and every day. Ty, you're probably feeling that too, right?
Oh yeah, the distractions that you don't realize come up. Like right now, I'm looking at the vacuum cleaner. I'm thinking, should I start vacuuming? But
you're not kidding. I mean, because when you're at, especially when you work out of your house, it's real easy to send something to the printer and go put the clothes in the dryer. You know, send an email, go unpack the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny, Corey, because you know, people do think a lot of times, gosh, you're an entrepreneur, you do whatever you want, you can come and go as you please, and you're like, no, I'm a slave to my work. Basically, it comes down to, if you're not working, you're not generating income. So yeah, that would be a huge topic to talk about. And now with stuff like Twitter, oh my gosh, you know, it's so difficult to stay focused, because you want to launch Twitter and check that out constantly and respond to people, and you want to be checking and be on top of your email, but then you're like, I gotta work, I gotta do work for clients and stop this noise and work. And there's a jealousy factor, I think, among a lot of internet marketers, because like, gosh, look at that guy, he sends out 10,000 tweets a year and he's got 50,000 followers. I only have 300 something, what am I doing wrong? Well, I better get on here and get more active. But that doesn't pay the bills.
No, that's a good point.
So I think there's a balancing act.
Yeah, a lot of the folks that are very dominant in the social media space, not all of them, but a lot of them, you can just tell they simply just spend a lot of time there. And a case could be made for whether they're wasting time or not. That would be a good discussion. But you'll notice a lot of the people that are dominating in social marketing are the younger crowd that have a lot of time on their hands. They are the type that, you know, either they have a job and their job just lets them do this all day, which is kind of rare, but there are those cases. Or it just so happens they have a lot of free time because of their personal circumstances. So social media does take a lot of time, but really everything on the internet takes time. And when you talk about return on investment, you talk about being a profitable business on your own or even with employees and whatnot, it's it really, the time is what the return on investment is a lot of the time on the internet, not so much the money. You know, we look at pay-per-click and AdWords and how much money do you spend, how much money do you make, but a lot of these other things, it's how much time do you spend and how much money do you make. I think that's going to become more of a factor as time goes on. And anyone sure. out there that's doing internet marketing for themselves or for their businesses, make sure you keep track of or at least think about how much time you're spending on things, because that's the real commodity here. Time is more of a commodity than money, because a lot of this stuff is virtually free. You guys see that too?
You bet.
Absolutely.
I have somebody assisting me too, kind of like Brandon. Not a virtual assistant. I actually know this person. That's one of my projects lately, has been trying to quantify different projects, whether it's setting up a Facebook account for a client or a Squidoo page or a complete blog setup. I've had to kind of optimize, I guess you could say, that the time and try to capture how much time is being spent on each product and then putting a price point or price value on that, because if you don't quantify that and organize your services, then it's going to be hard not only to bid and estimate services for your clients, but you're going to have no control. So
yeah.
it does take time, and I think one of your questions was any lessons learned, and I know that's for me, is organizing my business now that I'm my own to where I'm not having wasted time. You know, my return on investment on my time is being established. So
yeah. And along those lines, maybe I just throw it out there for the benefit of our audience. You know, anyone that has a job in internet marketing and they're thinking about pulling out, or if they have recently pulled out and they want to learn from some gurus like yourselves, some fine, intelligent, internet savvy people here, what are the, I guess I can say one of my big benefits that I could offer up to doing this, I feel with a down economy, you know, you do need to be careful. I mean, don't just jump out of your job. Make sure you have a plan. Make sure you know what you're going to do. Make sure you're confident you can make money. And if a lot of things on the internet take time before you start making money, so start them before you leave your job, so
Absolutely.
That you can, you know, get set up.
Yes.
When you do leave, you'll have a little cash flow there. I know each of you have thought about that and either got set up with some clients before you left your job or got some kind of arrangement from your job that you get at least some income for a while after you leave. The other benefit to me is I've been working on my own for a while now. We have a few employees. We have a small office. For me, the biggest advantage that I see of doing this on my own instead of as a job is that if I have a job and the economy tanks and my business does poor or whatever, I lose my job, it's over. Game over. I got nothing unless I've started something on the side. But if I have, like I do now, I have a half a dozen clients, I have 3 e-commerce sites, I have a set of training classes that I teach once a month. If any one of those or all of them start tanking, I still have backup plans. I still have multiple revenue streams coming in for myself and my business. I can slow down expenses Great. And marketing to be able to mm-hmm. maximize the money coming in. I just see that as a lot more comforting and easier to work with than just expecting the man to give me my paycheck every 2 weeks, you know? I mean, that's where I see the huge benefit to this. And it doesn't mm-hmm. happen immediately. You have to have those multiple streams of income and things like that before it gets going. Do you folks see that as one of the big benefits too?
Oh, absolutely. I know I've seen the same as far as myself branching out in other avenues. Because if you put all your eggs in one basket, it's pretty much accurately as what you just said. Things can happen, things can change, and if you don't have other options, I'm in the process of getting another e-commerce site. I have another website that is kind of like an online directory in which eventually I'll have some cash flow there. So I'm slowly tapping into other opportunities, because it's not only good for a backup, but it's good for experience. It's kind of like you, Corey. You own a successful e-commerce site. The knowledge you're getting from that is probably incredible.
Yeah.
Because you're putting that now into your other clients and your teaching. So there are very ample opportunities and benefits from having several outlets.
One of the greatest benefits to just the web in general as the vehicle to launch a business is that you're thinking globally. And typically, most people through their life and their work at a, quote, real job, you know, you're servicing clients, you're doing things in a local, small geographic footprint, typically. Even if you're working at a big company, typically you might be in a role that you're serving a certain territory or whatever. But when you look at doing a web-based business, you really have to think early on that you're impacting people all over the globe, potentially. So that's the fun part about it, and that's the mindset shift, because in terms of diversifying, there's just so many ways to make money online. You can offer, of course, you can offer yourself as a consultant, which again would kind of sometimes limit you geographically. So, for example, Corey, you know, you have those great classes, but people have to come to you at this point. You know, we've talked about your opportunity at some time to maybe do an online version of the training, in which case anyone could do it.
Right.
So there's that. You can sell other people's products or your own products, like you were talking about, Ty and Corey, e-commerce. You can be an affiliate for other people's products, you know, and take a cut of selling things. I mean, there's on and on, and that's the fun part about it. As you get involved in internet marketing, you realize, gosh, there are many ways to make money, and I should be doing more than one just to make sure that I cover my bases.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a diversification, just like, you know, you would a financial portfolio. Think about doing that with your income too, you know, having different multiple streams of income. Ty, the only one clarification I would give from what you said is that you said that we practice on our own sites and then apply it to our clients. It's actually the other way around. We practice on our clients and then apply it to our own sites. Just kidding. If any of my clients are out there listening, just kidding. So guys, hey, I want to talk about a few things that are happening in the news right now. But before we do, I wanted to give you just one final chance. If there's anything you really want to share with our listeners as we record this podcast and put it up live, anybody might listen to it in the next 6 months or even more. What's the one big tip you would give to, you know, leaving your job and going on your own if anyone's thinking about doing that? Brandon, why don't we start with you? Just, you know, brief, quick tip, anything?
Wow, one tip. I think just have the courage to do it. Plan for it, because in my most recent example, things happened fairly quickly, but I was able to make that decision only because I had done it 10 years before. Mm-hmm. Now, the first time I did it, I probably worked part-time almost 2 years while I was at a full-time job starting my other business. So just like Ty had talked about earlier, you know, I was doing stuff on the side, getting some experience, buying a couple pieces of equipment here and there, because really all you need is a laptop and a printer and a fax machine. You know, you don't need a whole lot to do this stuff to right off the bat. But then, of course, you might want some software, et cetera. But the point is, while you're at a job, start squirreling away the money, cut out your cable, or, you know, take it from 400 channels down to 50, you know, cut your cell phone. You just start trimming down so that you're prepared to make that leap. That's my biggest advice, is, you know, make a plan and stick to it.
Yeah, good advice. Ty, anything that you specific that you think would help?
Well, I think just to reiterate what Brandon said is, I know with me, having a strategy. It took me 1 year to get to this point. Quitting your job is a huge decision, but with an online business, you can have a website up probably within 1 hour. However, even though it's easy to do that, I had to plan like I would mention before, my exit strategy. I tapped my resources. I spoke with all my colleagues. I edited my site throughout the year. I monitored it, because my website would be my business card. So all in all, I would recommend to your audience, if you're going to quit your job to start an online business, be smart. Get a strategy and set yourself a 4-month goal, 6-month goal, and a 1-year goal, and then do it.
Yeah, very wise, and I think the same thing, if I was to advise on it, I think I would advise the same thing. You know, Brent, both of you mentioned a good point of minimizing your expenses. You know, instead of trying to bring in more money, try lowering your cost of living is always a smart move. Either way is going to be a move in the right direction. And so many of the other things that you folks mentioned, I know we've thought about over here. I've actually coached people through this, from, you know, working for a job into starting their own business. The one other thing I wanted to add to Ty's comment, you mentioned, you know, it doesn't take long to build a website. Both of you have said that, but something to keep in mind is it does take a little while to rank it. It does take a little while to get the pay-per-click working right if you decide to do that. Social media does take a little while, and so even though you can build a website in an hour, you probably want to do it before you leave your job, you know, if at all possible, and get that website out there, start building content, start getting some people subscribing to what you're doing, and you can do a lot of that in your evening hours and just a little bit here and there. And once you start getting some traction, especially with the search engines, then's a good time to pull out. So even though those things are, it can be quick to do, it's a good idea to get them up, build that equity, build multiple websites if you can, and start, you know, jumping into social media before you leave your job. You know, very good advice by both of you.
Here's one challenge to that is if, you know, for most people, if you're working a job and you start something on the side, then of course that sends up a red flag to your employer. unless you take one of two approaches. You're either upfront and you go to your employer and you say, listen, you know, I have this idea that I want to do XYZ. I'm going to be doing this online. This is something I'm going to do on the side. It's not going to impact on my work performance here. And in fact, the things I do might actually enhance my skill set or whatever. And, you know, seek your boss's blessing.
Yeah.
Tim Ferriss talks about this in the 4-Hour Workweek. So that's one approach. The other approach is you do real incognito. And so you register a fake name or something that's not tied to you personally and do it on the side, but keep it under the radar, you know.
Yeah.
And the first time I did my first business, that's the approach I took. I mean, I literally had a, I wouldn't call it bogus, but just generic company name. And I used an attorney to register the name with the Secretary of State so that any paperwork went to that person. Because otherwise, your name might come up in the paper as having registered a company.
Wow.
You know, I made that mistake once, and I was deathly afraid that somebody would see my name in the paper. So there's just little things like that. But if you're going to do it, you either have to be upfront or be prepared to lead a double secret agent life.
Yeah, good points. Yeah, very interesting.
That's very true.
It's a side of it I hadn't thought about, but very true. I appreciate both your comments on all that, and I really appreciate that you have a little bit of experience in this, and I hope that our listeners can benefit from that. I wanted to take a few minutes and talk briefly about some of the different odds and ends things we're seeing in the news, especially in the internet marketing side. A couple of smart men like you, and hear some of your comments. Probably the biggest news in the last 3-4 weeks has been this whole thing of Search Wiki that Google is presenting. If anyone hasn't seen it yet, if you're logged into Google and you do a search, you will now see little arrows next to each of the different listings that come up in the organic results, the natural results. And you can actually pop those up to the top of the page or push them down to the bottom. You can make comments on different things. And it seems like there's been a lot of talk about this, and it seems like Google is now opening up to people the ability to say what you like or don't like in the Google results. And of course, the SEOs are all talking about, will that eventually, if enough people don't like a certain result or enough people do like a certain result, will Google eventually look at that and boost it up or down? Any thoughts from you folks? I know this is not something that, just to clarify for our audience, if you boost a website up by clicking that button or you add a comment, it doesn't automatically get seen by anyone else. The comment can be seen if they choose to look at it, but you can't just bump up your results in Google as much as we'd like to as SEOs. But if enough people do it, Google may notice it. Any thoughts on how this might change the game of search and how it might change or affect Google or what they're trying to do? Ty, you're a bit of an SEO. You got any thoughts?
Well, obviously, Google especially, they're always trying to continue to get more relevant information for user experience. It's almost like they're just grasping, in my opinion, at more options to do that, which is good. I've got to be honest, I'm not really spending a whole lot of time, I know with my clients, of pursuing, there's so many other opportunities out there to get traffic and rankings to my clients, but I've experimented with it myself. I got to be honest, I don't really like it. I think Google is, they're trying to strain the gnat, you could say, of trying to look for, continuing to look for opportunities to rank a site higher. I'm not really sure, Corey, to be honest with you, how this will play out with Google.
Yeah.
and search results. Perhaps down the road it could have an impact. I know, like for some of my clients that have a local business, commenting and reviewing their local businesses helps in the Google local results, or at least it adds a little bit to the algorithm. The jury is still out, in my opinion, with wiki notes for Google. I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent as to putting a whole lot of effort into my clients with this in this regard.
Yeah, I agree. Brandon, how about you?
Well, I think, yeah, if you take a look at it right now, the user interface for that particular functionality is pretty hard to decipher.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got these very light gray buttons that sit next to the links that are not going to pop out to the average person. And even if you roll over those links, one is an error that just says promote.
Yeah.
Which, what does that mean? Promote how? I mean, some people wouldn't click on that because, well, I don't want to promote this link. You know, what they're saying is move it to the top.
Right.
But it doesn't say that. I didn't even know there was the chat feature that you mentioned, because that's down on the very last line under the links. It's just a little chat bubble, which, of course, people know that, but it's kind of the old user interface 101. You know, if people have to guess what that is, they're not going to click on it.
Yeah.
So I don't really see a whole lot of value in it right now. I think maybe what Google is attempting to do is, as you suggested, Corey, give some control back to users, all of us, to help them improve their results. Because, you know, I remember in the early days, Yahoo was a great search engine because they had people that would take the time to put stuff in the right place.
Yeah.
And that was great, but they could certainly couldn't keep up with it. Now you have other search engines like Mahalo that are trying to do the same thing, and just no one can keep up with that. So the whole idea of the collaborative web is fascinating, and certainly Google being the 800-pound gorilla, if we can all help make the results better, great, but they're going to have to do a much better job of promoting this and making it intuitive to the user.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, some people felt that this was, well, Wikipedia is so strong and Mahalo is gaining strength. Is this Google trying to say that maybe it's not just about the algorithm, that it's really about the people, and they're trying to not let those other websites gain position on them? I don't think it's that. I think it's more wisdom of crowds, crowdsourcing concept, where we've known already that Google is already asking they're hiring individuals to look at the results and say good, bad, spam, ugly, and mention those things. I got the feeling when I saw this search wiki feature in Google that this was Google basically opening up that hiring of people to say whether the results are good or not to the entire public. And now basically they've given all of us the opportunity to say this is junky, or I like this, or I don't like this. And I think not right now, but eventually, I think all of us realize, all the SEOs talking online realize that in the future, Google may aggregate that information. And if 99% of all the comments say that this one site is bad, they may look at it themselves and say, oh yeah, it is bad, and drop it out of the index or drop it out of the top 10 listing. I think it's a crowdsourcing tool. I don't think it's a trying to catch up or trying to keep the market share away from other people that are doing this even better than they are. Is that where you folks are thinking?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think when you look at forums and some of the top commenters on this subject, it's still a kind of a coin toss. And whether this will play into rankings, I think we're all in agreement that it's kind of yet to be seen. But I know personally, again, I'm not sure that I'm going to really focus on this with my clients, because there's so many other things, that you can focus on it to help, long term and short term.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about one other subject here before we finish off, because we're reaching up to our time here. Brandon, I wanted to throw this out to you because you're here in Charlotte. Ty, feel free to comment, but being out in Wilmington, you may not have too many thoughts on it. We've seen some events pop up recently for internet and IT people here in the Charlotte area. Brandon, I know you were at Charlotte WordCamp, which I had the privilege of presenting at, and
yes,
Jason Keith did just a fantastic job in my mind of getting between 100 and 150 people at the Charlotte Observer to talk about WordPress and blogging, and that's sort of a small field there, but the outpouring of people coming in, especially from the Twitter community in the Charlotte area, was amazing. And now we're seeing this BarCamp Charlotte come up. 2 days ago, they posted the website, and within 24 hours, we had 75 registrants. And then within another 24 hours, they had another 30 or more. Last I saw, there were over 100. Any comments or thoughts on these types of things happening in Charlotte, or what to expect with BarCamp? Or what were your thoughts on WordCamp and BarCamp?
Well, first of all, I think you and I both agreed WordCamp was a great event, because there were people that were completely fresh, new, never did a blog, all the way up to very high-level developer type of folks in the crowd. So it was a very interesting mix of people. It was an exciting electric atmosphere where people were, you know, a lot of these folks were meeting each other for the first time. And to your point about Twitter, you know, I was meeting Twitter friends there in the room for the first time. So that was fun as well. You know, you didn't even mention your other, the SEO meetup group, which is a great thing that you started with, I guess, was it Keith Schilling?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some other, was that accurate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, every month you guys get together and there's 30 or 50 people, not all of whom even do SEO. So I think there's just sort of a groundswell of interest and support for one another. So BarCamp's going to extend that. I think we're all trying to figure out exactly what is BarCamp.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's a very kind of open platform for people to make groups to talk about things such as the group I like that you created called How to Make Money Online. I suspect that might be one of the well-attended crowds because, you know, that's bottom line. We all want to make money at some form or fashion. So that's going to be great. Also there, I think Jason is also working on a Twitter specific type of event next year and some others. So, you know, I think Charlotte has a little bit of, even in this region, Charlotte has some envy with Raleigh because it's just a younger crowd. You have some dominant universities up in that area, so more technology in the Research Triangle Park. So we sort of perceive that they're more active. And in fact, they've had WordCamps prior to us and so forth. But even somebody like Wayne Sutton up in Raleigh, who's probably the top socially connected person that I know of, admitted that there are more Twitter users in Charlotte than there are in the greater Raleigh area. So it's ironic.
Yeah.
So once we all get together and start helping each other, it works.
Yeah, and I think for those that are outside the North Carolina region that are listening to this, just to give a little clarification as to how this works, the Raleigh area is just a much bigger area and seems to be well-connected internet, but more so IT-wise. It's a much bigger region, lots of people connected. Charlotte, I agree with you 100%, Brandon. I've used the comment several times that Charlotte is ripe for this type of event, whether it be BarCamp or any of these other meetups or whatnot. We are starting to come out. All the geeks are starting to come out from behind their computers and actually meet each other in person, which is wonderful. And for those that aren't from North Carolina, the two ends of North Carolina, the mountains up in Asheville, they're starting to gather themselves with a nice little blog event recently, and they're going to grow even more. If you go all the way the other end to the coast, you got Wilmington, where Ty is. And Ty, what are you seeing with internet and IT events? I know you have your own meetup. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's, I guess, the principle of BarCamp, but we have about 40 people or so right now here in Wilmington that are members of the SEO meetup group. It's incredible the people that come out of the woodwork to come to these little events. Our first meeting was only 7, and the one we had just a few weeks ago was 22, but we had to RSVP that group. There is such a large focus now on the internet, and I think what you guys are doing in Charlotte is incredible. And I hope you guys continue to do that because you're going to kind of set a precedent for other small cities as well to keep continuing the interest and pique people's interest in making money online, optimizing their site, jumping into social media. But I know here in Wilmington, we've kind of made a little stir in our small town here of people that own websites, and we're hoping to grow that meetup group too.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Yeah, fantastic. Just for the sake of our listeners, I wanted to mention, Brandon, you mentioned quickly about BarCamp. They're going to be posting a schedule in the near future here as to exactly how that will work. But the general concept behind a BarCamp, for those of you that haven't attended or would like to hold one in your city, wherever you are, is that in the morning everybody gets together at a designated time and designated place, and everyone takes like a big, huge Post-it or a whiteboard or whatever, and you post whatever topic you want to talk about or chair a discussion on, and then everyone that's in attendance can write their name under that particular topic if they want to attend. And the topics that get the most sign-ups of sorts get the biggest room, and the ones that get smaller groups get the smaller rooms, and everybody splits up and goes and talks about whatever they want. The whole thing is free. So you owe it to yourself to check it out and to come on out and learn some topics. It doesn't have to be internet. It doesn't have to be marketing. It can be anything. So if you want to talk on a subject that you think people will be interested, come on down and write it up on the board and see if you get a following. And so if you're in the Charlotte area, look up Charlotte BarCamp I'm hoping to actually interview some of the guys that are involved with it, either before or after, on the podcast in the future. But we're really hoping for a large turnout, and I think it's pretty much a guarantee we'll get a large turnout.
The website is barcampcharlotte.com.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Brandon.
Students listening, too. You know, there are some active students at the local university here in Charlotte that are responsible for this website, getting this event going.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow, fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, really good. Well, let's go around the horn here. We're about out of time, and I don't want to. We certainly could talk all day long, the three of us, but let's go around the horn here. Ty, how do people get in touch with you or find out more about you? Tell us what you're involved with and where to find you.
Just to mention my business name, it's Perspective Internet Marketing, and you can find me on the internet at perspectiveim.com. Pretty much, we're a full service internet marketing company. We focus on search engine optimization, but also social media marketing, blogs. We help people set them up, optimize them as well. We're getting into quite a number of other features. We're trying to get into video creation and optimizing the videos for the internet. Quite a variety that we offer, but we're definitely trying to stay focused to internet marketing. So, and in addition to that, you can reach me on my phone number, my telephone, at 910-599-3097. And if you want to keep up with me on my blog, it's redvwbus.com. So those are my sites, and feel free to contact me.
Great. And Brandon, how do we reach you? Your website is Web Business Freedom.
Webbusinessfreedom.com, and you can check out there, you know, my services. And I'm not as big on expert in SEO and PPC as you guys by any means, so feel free to grab that business. But I help people. You know, I help a lot of companies and individuals learn how to do a website, some of the best practices and tips. And one of my areas of focus right now is helping companies figure out the social media space, what tools to use, what framework to set up, how to measure the results of this, which is so important because it's kind of a wild west right now, and then how to execute and really engage with their customers.
Excellent. Thank you very much to both of you. Real quick, how do we find each of you on Twitter? Ty, what's your Twitter address?
My Twitter address is SEO underscore guy. SEO and, guy.
And mine is Brandon, Brandon Utley, Utley. No spaces.
Excellent. I really appreciate both of you making the time to have this first inaugural edition of the Jungle Map podcast. It's a pleasure to have both of you. I hope you do it again sometime with me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Corey.
Corey, thank you. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. And for those of you that don't know me, The Jungle Map is the name of our podcast and our blog, thejunglemap.com. We offer training and classes on SEO and AdWords. Our company is Hippo Internet Marketing, and our classes can be found at Hippo IMT as an Internet Marketing Training. Twitter, I'm Charlotte underscore SEO. And if you're in the Charlotte area, please come on out to the Charlotte SEO Meetup. You can find that on meetup.com, as well as many other great events. We hope to see you at Barcamp coming up soon, next month. I know several of us will be there. We've got a large turnout. Great things are happening here in Charlotte. And remember that marketing on the line, on the internet, it is a jungle out there. So we appreciate you staying tuned to The Jungle Map, your guide to internet marketing. Thank you to both my guests.